We now turn to a special roundtable as we continue to focus on the UN's gathering this week. Joining us in our New York bureau is Amira Woods, co-director, Foreign Policy and Focus, and the Institute of Policy Studies. Also in New York, United Nations reporter and author of the UN for Beginners, Ian Williams. And George Curry joins us, editor-in-chief of the National Newspaper Publishers Association News Service. He joins us today from Maryland. Let me start with you, Mr. Williams. The idea of what we saw, and you just heard from Mr. Malik Brown, how much do you really believe was achieved this week?
There were some underplayed achievements. My personal favorite there, which was underplayed for reasons I'd be happy to explain, was the responsibility to protect. This summit has actually marked the biggest change in international law since the UN Charter. It's actually accepted that the world community now has a right to intervene in countries where governments are either committing or failing to prevent mass murder and humanitarian issues. And this was a huge breakthrough. And I think the reason that Malik Brown and Kofi Annan weren't making too much of it is if they jumped up and down on the stage this week and said, hey, you know, 5 years ago we told you we needed this and now we've got it, I think there would have been a lot of Grinches on the floor who would have tried to sort of pull back from it before the declaration is gone today. But that is a huge achievement, and I think that that will be remembered long after some of the other stuff's forgotten. Mm-hmm. Because the development issues, they can actually be implemented. As Mark said, the Europeans are going to do this whether or not John Bolton sort of agrees with them or smiles at them for it. A lot of the issues can actually be carried out in the General Assembly. But something like that, a major restatement of international law, it takes an occasion like this with, you know, 170-plus heads of state signing on to it. Just think, China has signed on for a right to humanitarian intervention. You know, before they were mesmerized by Tibet. No. It's a big step forward.
Amira Woods, let me turn the attention to the United States and the relationship, still tenuous at best, I think it's fair to say, and certainly with Mr. Bolton stepping in, one will continue to watch that. How important do you believe the UN's success and the relationship shoring up of the United States has to be to make most of this, what we came out of this conference, successful?
Well, let's be clear. We've had, for the last year, 191 countries negotiating for a way forward to tackle the core issues for the world community. Top of that agenda was dealing with global poverty. Throughout this year, there have been heated negotiations. And what happened? Let's be clear. 3 weeks before the summit, the United States, Bush administration, led by John Bolton, came in like a bull in a china shop and said, we don't want it. Let's gut the document. Let's take out all references to issues of real concrete commitments to tackling poverty. Let's take out references to concretes regarding debt relief, regarding trade changes, regarding what we're going to do to actually deal with poverty in a real way. You know, we have had an extraordinary context framing this summit. We have had Katrina bringing race and poverty to the forefront of not only the U.S., but the international community's agenda. It could not be a better time to recognize that throughout the world, it is people of color, primarily 70%, according to U.N. statistics, 70% of those living below the poverty line around the world are people of color. There could be no better time to take this historic opportunity, 191. This is like the highest number ever coming together to say we are going to have firm commitments. We are going to have firm timetables. We're going to move beyond words to concrete action to deal not with advances to war, but with actually making the world more stable through dealing with issues of global poverty. And let's also underscore this point. You know, 50 billion, if you heard Mark Malik Brown, 50 billion is the commitment made between now and 2010 for the world community to tackle poverty. Now, 50 billion is just a pittance when you think about what's spent daily in Iraq. We have already understood it's $204 billion today that's been spent on the war and occupation in Iraq. So if you recognize the priorities being set by the United States for the international community, those priorities are totally off base. And what we had was an opportunity to have the developing countries put forward a better agenda for the international community that would actually bring more peace, more stability, more security for the world.
George Curry, let me ask you this. John Bolton is an easy target, an easy villain, if you will. But if you look historically, the United States has often, sometimes loudly, sometimes not, been the 300-pound bully at the UN.
Yes, it has. And this is why this is mixed signals. Bush can step and proclaim he's for the Millennium Goal. But here it is, Bolton proposed 500 amendments to a 39-page document that would gut all those proposals. So he can, Mr. Bush can be, you know, kind and gentle, but you got Bolton, his appointee, with a slash and burn style. The problem is this, Ed. We've been, the UN has been talking about this problem. I mean, well, the problem is the world's richest countries are really not giving their fair share. And the United States right there at the top of the list in terms of its ability to pay. The world's richest countries donate an average of $80 to eradicate poverty, which is equivalent to a weekly cup of coffee. The commitment is not there and it's been going down.
Mr. Williams, do you believe that, and many people see it quite frankly this way, no matter what we see over the course of the last week, that the United Nations just in today's world is no longer relevant?
No, I think on the contrary. It's the point about the United Nations is that most of the world thinks it's highly desirable and relevant. Most Americans think it's highly desirable and relevant. It's a small, very vociferous, and I have to say somewhat eccentric group of conservatives who keep shouting down its irrelevance and inventing scandals like the oil for food scandal to try and bring it down. People like Henry Hyde, for example, they've no interest in reforming the United Nations. They want it reformed dead, and they've made that very plain and privately. It's just this is just sort of persiflage. What John Bolton had to do this week, he shoved down all those amendments, and my suspicion is that the people in the State Department and the White House said, excuse me, you know, you said we truly believe what you've just said to them all, but we need these people. We want the United Nations to come on board to try and restrain Iran. We want the United Nations on board when it comes to Syria. We want the United Nations on board for this. And we're really not going to do this if you go sticking your thumbs in the nostrils of our best friends, the Europeans and the non-aligned. So lay off. And that's when I think you got the retrenchment on a lot of those. A lot of the language, I know it's already been taken away, but some of that ground was retrieved, hence Mark Malik Brown's sort of understandable satisfaction. There was a lot in there on development which John Bolton must have really sort of, must have got under his skin signing onto it, because what they had to do was to say, well, we're not going to do it, but we don't mind if you guys do. And I really think that's the answer. The rest of the United Nations should treat the US as a sort of mentally ill brother that, you know, you sort of lay it open that when he's been in rehabilitation, he'll come back and join us. And that's what they did on the International Criminal Court, is what they did on the Law of the Sea. You know, anytime you see sanity, come back and join us, but we're going to go ahead anyway. I think that should be the attitude.
All right, well, the rubber meets the road as we move into further discussions and actions. Ian Williams, Amira Woods, and George Curry, thank you so much for joining us today. Appreciate it.
Thank you.